Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. It looks like the wheels are coming off. The Epstein files expose the corruption and privilege of the very rich and powerful elite. The Trump administration claims the controversy is nothing more than partisan politics. The court of public opinion sees it differently. The Epstein class is seen to be above the law. Crosstalking the Epstein class, I'm joined by my guest Lionel in New York. He's a legal and media analyst. In Charlotte, we have Ken Silva. He is an editor at Headline USA. And in Columbia, we cross to Alan Mosley. He is a historian and host of It's Too Late with Alan Mosley. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. I want to ask all three of you the same question, and I will start out with Lionel. How is this saga, event, hysteria, the Epstein files changing American politics? Lionel.
Well, you know, there's got to be some pun here. Historia, hysteria. You're right about that. First and foremost, for those of us, Peter, those of us wizened by decrepitude in history, those of us who remember the idea of decorum, those of us who remember a civility, even during some of our darkest moments, Vietnam, Watergate, we are seeing not only a public reaction, but politics at an unhinged level I never thought even possible. Part of me finds it amusing for about 30 seconds, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, we're losing our minds. You know, Peter, a while back, not too long ago, if you dared suggested that there were, and I'm using this term as they do, pedophile rings, that there were levels of this corruption, you would be called an absolute, one of the darkest conspiracy theorists of all times, a lunatic. And then all of a sudden, somebody snapped their fingers, and what was verboten then is now considered acceptable. And people, Peter, who never ever said really anything, are now recognizing that there was something so wrong and so pernicious, so horrible, that's been illuminated by virtue of this Epstein, this Epstein network, because it's more than just child predation. It's about everything from eugenics to crypto to you name it.
Yeah, and you know, that's why I'm calling the program the Epstein class. I can go to Ken right now. You know, I always have a level of skepticism, and I keep that. And I think it's a healthy way to move forward on a program like this. And it's, I find it very unnerving that you see so much information, but in very, you know, email by email by email, and it's very hard to get a context there. What's going? Do people always tell the truth in emails, or people pitching things? You know, and you know, is writing an email like being under oath? Okay, and it's very disconcerting trying to put try to organize it in your mind here. It seems like some really horrific, terrible things have happened, and this is what the American people are reacting to. They're reacting to a class of people. Ken.
Yeah, that's right. And it's kind of hard to separate the signal from the noise. I think there's a lot of information from which you can infer that, well, this looks really, really bad. Epstein might have been running some sort of sexual blackmail operation when you talk about his houses being wired with cameras and things like this. But I haven't really found a smoking gun yet. I think at this point, we can safely say that he was allowed to operate with impunity and abuse teenage girls because of his status, because he was possibly an intelligence asset, and because of his connections. But we're still looking for that smoking gun to prove, you know, the maximalist position, which is that he was running a pedophile ring based, you know, with the goal of blackmailing the elite. I really can't go that far at this point.
Yeah, that's, you bring up an interesting point. You know, Alan, I think it was on Tuesday of this week, after a number of GOP lawmakers, female lawmakers, after they were able to glean through some of the evidence that has not been released yet, it was really kind of echoing a little bit what Ken had to say. None of them said this is illegal or someone should go to prison. All they said is this is disgusting. And I think that, you know, there's more of a visceral reaction to this. And I'm really glad that we have Lionel on the panel, because I want to talk about how do you prosecute stuff like this. But this is kind of a cultural revulsion, Alan.
Absolutely. And the thing is that there's just so much content, right? I mean, this is an amount of files, so many documents, so many emails, so many texts. This is stuff that can be poured through for weeks and months.
This is going to be a longer. Cottage industry. This will be a cottage industry for numerous people, like JFK. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, well, you know, and the thing is that while you see every single day new highlights being made of, oh, look at this document that's been revealed, look at the emphasis here, look at this disgusting behavior. The thing that I think a lot of people are concerned about is, while there may not be any one document that you can say is a smoking gun or, oh, this is absolutely actionable right here, the thing is I think that there's plenty enough evidence to suggest that, well, If this were found out, then authorities should investigate this. The problem is that the supposed authorities that we would be hoping would be investigating, following up on these leads, are the same authorities that are having to be fought tooth and nail to get any exposure to the files at all.
Yeah, having the an investigation run by the investigators being investigated, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, Lionel, exactly. We had Howard Lutnick on. He appeared before Congress, before the committee, and he was confronted with statements he'd made only months before about Jeffrey Epstein. And in the interview, the media interview, he said he'd only met Epstein with his wife once. They were next door neighbors. And the files absolutely prove that to be untrue. Then he goes in front of Congress and he explains himself. He didn't explain why he lied. So obviously during the media interview, he wasn't under oath. He was under oath in front of the committee here. So what do you draw from him as a witness when he changes his story like that? And he patently lied.
Well, there's in law, whenever you impeach a witness, sometimes they will lie as far as collateral matters. They will say something that really doesn't apply to the actual, something that's material. But understand what this brings up, Peter, and you mentioned it before. Under federal law, which is what we're talking about, not state, but federal, and for those of our more international friends might not understand the distinction, what we're talking about prosecuting would be perfect at the state level. Actual involvement with, let's say, minors, people underage, without a doubt. Sometimes with no statutes of limitation or anything to affect or limit the amount of prosecution. But at the federal level, unless you can show that there is something which is trafficking on a larger scale, something that involves international commerce or state commerce, something bigger, there's really nothing to prosecute per se. But remember, a couple of years ago, if I had brought up things such as Eyes Wide Shut, just look at the X, if you will, and some of the social media imagery that years ago they would say, would you stop this spirit cooking and witchcraft? And what are you talking about? Cannibalism and these, this weird kind of a strange dimension of depravity. Again, you would have laughed. Nobody's laughing right now. So in a way, finally, it took how many centuries? Remember the old days, Peter, of Jimmy Savile? Nobody with Prince Charles. Nobody really understood it. Because remember, sometimes the more horrible the offense, the easier it is to pass, because people are so incredulous. They don't want to admit that that's even possible. Well, let me tell you something. The gig's up. And the scab has been removed, or whatever metaphor applies, because this is a different world now.
Yeah, but I think that's, Ken, that's the revulsion that people have about it. And I include myself. I mean, it seems, if I can connect the dots, and they're not easy to do because it's such a huge dump, somebody has to be held to account. But it's just, Lionel just said here, that may be very, very difficult to do. Ken.
Well, Senator Ron Wyden said a few months ago that he delivered information to the Justice Department that is actionable and could have led to prosecutions. His investigation touched on the money laundering side of this, though. Jeffrey Epstein, one of his biggest clients was Leon Black, and he helped him save, well over $1 billion on taxes. And it really looks like he might have engaged in tax evasion when he's, valuing his artwork at various levels, pretty much to suit his best interests. And Ron Wyden had been investigating this since the Biden administration. He delivers all his findings to Pam Bondi, and we haven't heard anything since. You know, I guess it's just a good time to mention that Pam Bondi was the attorney general in Florida during the original Epstein prosecutions.
Yep.
And there was discussion at the time of whether to pursue him for tax evasion at that time, too. So I think this spans beyond just the salacious sexual abuse aspect of this. This is about billionaires getting to run amok.
That brings up a really good point here, Alan. We all remember Al Capone, and how did they get him? Tax evasion, okay? I mean, I think this is an important avenue here, is the financial shenanigans that seem to be at play. Because you can demonstrate the breaking of the law here. It's not that hard, Alan.
Well, you know, we've talked so often already today about just the depravity and the disgust of the whole situation. But, you know, as they say, sunlight is the best disinfectant. So while we're sitting here musing on, we feel like there's been significant wrongdoing, but we're not sure how to go about attacking this. That's just all the more reason why it's important for the redactions to be removed and for names to be named. Because if the authorities are not going to follow up on this evidence, on these investigations, at the very least, let the public at large be made aware who was involved and shame these people, ostracize these people out of society.
Yeah, because that's one of the reasons why this was probably happened, is that people want to be on the inside of an important group. And for some reason, Jeffrey Epstein was one of those centers. And it says a whole lot about that class of people, which we will talk about further in the second part of the program. I'm going to jump in. We're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on the Epstein file. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaVelle. To remind you, we're discussing the Epstein files. Okay, let's go back to Lionel in New York. Are we experiencing some important cultural moment? Is the zeitgeist changing right now? Because when, you know, we've seen, you and I, my good friend, we have seen over the decades, again, we're on one side of the other gentleman on the other side with the age group, but we've seen the whittling away of the middle class and the middle class's dignity as well. And, you know, Trump promised prosperity. It depends on who you ask. I mean, if you're really rich, you're doing just fine. That's how the rich like it. But if you're not in that group, you're not in the 1%, a lot of people still have a lot of issues here. And then you throw this kind of cultural monkey wrench into it. This is, I think, it's very telling of how we feel about the people that govern us and their behaviors. And I think that it's going to stay with us for a very long time. 3 million documents, maybe 3 million more, they're going to be mined forever. Lionel.
You know, it's good to see at least that we're upset about something, because whenever we had a Catholic Church scandal a while back, I was involved in that from a civil litigation point of view, and finally people started to catch on. This got our attention. But you know, Peter, perhaps one of the most boring aspects, and I think our guests would agree as well, is one of the interesting stories is, how did this Jeffrey Epstein, a guy, I don't even think he had a college education. He worked as a teacher in one of the most prestigious private schools in New York, the Dalton School. He was culled, or rather recruited, by Bill Barr's father, not that he was involved in it, and then all of a sudden left and became the star options trader with Bear Stearns. And the next thing you know, overnight, this savant became one of the most expert individuals who knows all about financial, these labyrinthine kind of Rube Goldberg situations. And then recently, if you listen to his interview, I think with Steve Bannon, he spoke about fractional reserve banking like a middle schooler. I'm thinking, this is the genius?
Yeah.
So was he really who he said he was? Who behind him? Was he just the, not the proxy, but was he the exemplar? Was he the dummy? Was he the scarecrow who took this? Because this man's rise, and who backed him? Where did this come from? And one more thing, where are all the thousands of hours of evidence, I don't want them revealed, of individuals of the exploitation of people? Because all of this was recorded, and whether the sexploitation aspect of it was de minimis or not, that's a different issue. Who were these victims? How many were there? And one last thing, it's one thing to expose the documents, but you don't want to expose the most embarrassing aspects of some of the victimization to teach these folks a lesson. Don't ask for exposure next time. Remember what they did to Epstein. So again, very, very, this Gordian knot of complexity here.
Yeah, but Ken, it seems, you know, in looking at a lot of these files, they wrote about their escapades or their interests or desires with impunity. You get the sense that they felt that they could be very open. I mean, talking about these things on Gmail, are you serious? Or because they believe that, so what? I'm never going to be held to account. And I think that's the problem with the hubris of these people.
Yeah, and if this is what they're discussing on unencrypted email, one could only imagine what they're talking about behind closed doors or on more encrypted chats. This whole saga, I think, is the latest development in the deterioration of trust in our institutions. I'm a millennial. I remember in the 90s growing up, conspiracy theories were considered fringe. We had things like the X-Files. Well, the Iraq War happened, and we found out that was a total lie, and a lot of our trust was really damaged, and then it was totally destroyed during COVID, to where now I don't think people believe mainstream institutions at all. And this is just the latest example of it. Well, whether it's going to lead to any sort of beneficial change or just lead to some sort of demigod taking control, that's, you know, remains to be seen.
Yeah, Alan, I think that there's a lot of angst and anger about, is this what the people that rule over us, the people that have so much wealth and power, this is how they behave? Back to my question again, they write about it with impunity. That's why I think this is a very important moment.
Yeah, and I echo what Ken said 100%. If these are the documents that we're seeing released, that's just casual conversation between these people, then we can only imagine what is still being held from us. The interesting thing is that if there's one thing that can bring the average American together in such polarizing political times, it's people don't like to hear about people, particularly children, being brutalized and raped and tortured. And so that, you know, this is just an easy win policy position, right? It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. If you run on a position of, I don't want to see children brutalized, that's not a bad policy position to have in America. And yet you see people so gleefully outing themselves in the public being against more transparency.
Yeah, it's kind of an us and them moment, Lionel. How do you see this affecting the political math moving forward, Trump's popularity or lack thereof, and the midterms that are coming up?
Well, despite what people listen, if you hate Trump, Trump's involved in it up to his neck. If you don't, believe it or not, the record shows, and people will say, and Ghislaine Maxwell, by the way, will verify this. Now, keep in mind, she has recently taken the Fifth Amendment. When asked about this, she's looking for perhaps either a pardon or a commutation of sentence. So I do not think it would behoove her to threaten any type of negative testimony against President Trump. But she has verified, and others have said, that Trump threw him out, Epstein. And remember, Peter, at the time, here in New York where I am, there was a time when everybody kind of knew about Epstein, even after his Florida event, but to be invited to one of his soirees at his salons, this is all New York cared about. And there were people who not only, remember, not only Epstein, but Harvey Weinstein. And as I've said before, if you eliminated from consideration every pervert and depraved pedophile, a pederast, and, you know, demented paraphile in the world, you would be talking to nobody in Washington, in Hollywood. They're all over the place. So to all of a sudden say, well, I would never sully my dignity by going to a party of a known pervert or degenerate. Well, guess what? Where are you going to go? I would say, what, the Vatican? And even that might be considered by some people off limits. So this, I hope, exposes, shines a light on really, really how sick, I hate to say this, how sick humans are.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing, Ken. I mean, that's why it goes beyond politics, okay? I mean, let's say, for the sake of argument, Trump wasn't involved in any of these things, but he mingled. He knew all of these people, and they all knew him. I mean, this is the phenomenon that we're all trying to grapple with here. The rich and most powerful among us are engaged in most depraved or accused of being involved in most depraved activities and behavior.
Yeah, and it's just an instance of history repeating itself. You know, if you look at ancient Rome right before it fell, this is kind of sort of how the elites were behaving. Whether this leads to any real political consequences, you know, we're going to have to wait till the midterms. I do expect the Democrats to take the House and Senate and have total control and probably push for impeachments, and that's when the rubber's really going to hit the road. You know, we've had a lot of virtue signaling from certain Republican congresswomen. You know, Nancy Mace comes to mind as one of them. Well, are they going to join those impeachment proceedings, you know, in the next 2 years? And will this actually lead to anything? I'm more skeptical of that. I think it's kind of more of an easy position to be a critic right now when nothing's really at stake.
What's your take on that, Alan? Because, again, this kind of goes above politics. Anyone that says this is partisan is not being honest, okay? It's much bigger than just partisan politics right now.
Well, yeah, exactly. As we said before, look, you know, transparency on this issue, or any issue, but particularly this issue, is a winning strategy. I agree that Democrats are probably going to take the House and Senate in the midterms. I mean, the incumbent party typically struggles in the midterms anyway. That's fairly historically recognized. The thing is that the same problems that we had in Trump 1.0, we're seeing in Trump 2.0. All the complaints of Cash Patel, his testimony, did he perjure himself? He claimed that there was no evidence. Pam Bondi, her recent testimony, trying to change the subject to the Dow. And, oh, look at the stock market. Don't look at these Epstein files. You know, these people work at the leisure of the president. These people are people that Trump has chosen to surround himself with, and he backs those people. When are we going to quit this ridiculous 4D chess line of, oh, it's not Trump. Trump has nothing to do with any of this. It's just all these bad actors around him. Well, he keeps putting the bad actors around him. When are we finally going to recognize they're performing exactly the way he wants them to?
Yeah, Lionel, I mean, what do you expect from Pam Bondi when she's talking about Donald Trump is the greatest president in American history, and you should be thankful. You should thank him, and the stock market is doing this and that. I mean, that doesn't build confidence, does it, Lionel?
Well, to some it doesn't, but let me remind you, no matter how bad Pam Bondi is or how bad President Trump is, there was a guy before us who was walking around in some kind of neurological fugue who his administration went after Catholic parents because he didn't like their religion. So just remember, like Gore Vidal said, we're the United States of amnesia. We have the attention span of a gnat. And the previous administration and what they went through and what we missed by just the width of a hair is, I think, worse than anything Donald Trump or anybody could have done. Now, that may not be a consolation, but it's a matter of basically defining what kind of bad do you want.
Well, I mean, Lionel, also, I mean, okay, you can bring in Biden, but then a lot of people will say a plague on both your houses. Keep going.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's not exactly a hearty endorsement, but it seems like we just have a revolving and evolving series of wrongs.
I would say devolving, okay? I think that, you know, that's where we are right now. All right, gentlemen, we'll see where this goes. Like I said, I think it's part of the zeitgeist, and it's a sad reflection of about the people that rule over us. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in New York, Charlotte, and in Columbia. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk rules.